Shalom and welcome to our special program of the Zohar classes. And today we are in Parashat Bo. Parashat Bo is the third parasha in the book of Exodus, chapter 10, verse 1 in the book of Exodus. Now, 3 weeks ago, when we started to read the book of Shemot, the book of Exodus, or in Hebrew, the book of Names, we started also a cosmic era, according to the Kabbalistic teachings, that every year during the 6 weeks or 8 weeks describing the Exodus, the whole world is going through a transformation. And this transformation can be seen, as I said, on three different planes. The first plane is the Exodus, what is called in tradition Pesach Mitzrayim, the Exodus in the time of Egypt some 33, 34 centuries ago. That was a great revolution, one of the greatest in the history of humanity. That revolution basically changed the way we think, all of us, all humans, and the way we believe. Because, as I explained, and I'm not going to expand too much on it, as I explained, till the time of the Exodus, the consciousness of hope and real certainty and trust in a good future, because the Creator is good and therefore whatever is happening is going towards being good, or in one verse, in one sentence, if all is well, if the end is well, all is well, and if it's not the end, if all is well, the end is well, all is well, but if it's not well, it's not the end. And that means that it's very important to understand that the whole birth, well, that's why it's called the deliverance of the consciousness of the Israelites on Mount Sinai, receiving real freedom. Freedom from what? The sages are saying freedom from death. And what is death? Anger is death. Greed is death. Whatever brings the person into a place of darkness, selfishness, disconnection from the greatness of the Creator and His creation, this is basically death, nothing but death. So reaching real freedom means freedom that is internal, and that needs a lot of trust in yourself and in the Creator and the system of the creation. So the fact that on Parashat Shmot we read what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the main author of the Zohar some 2,000 years ago, said, that it's also about the final redemption. Final redemption means the era that we are going through right now as the era that we live in, and we have to be blind not to see that we are living in a really special time in the history of humanity that is very, very, very important, because it's bringing humanity to a level of redemption that never been experienced before. However, that is not a simple time and not a simple era. So yes, as I said before also, there's another realm, another plane, and the plane is the inner redemption of every human being that can go through that steps of redemption during these 6 weeks or 8 weeks more than any other time in the year. However, again, we have to relate whatever is happening in the Torah itself to ourselves, to our personal life here and now practically, which means we have to apply it practically to everything we go through, either in the level of business and sustenance and the level of relationships, personal relationships, health relationships, everything that is around us, it's all under the same terms of coming from slavery into freedom, because some people are enslaved by their reactions towards money, some by their reactions towards food, some by their reactions towards sex, or what people think about me, or, you know, all of that stuff. There's so many addictions that we have, and as long as we are enslaved to those emotions, we will never be truthfully happy. Okay? It doesn't matter how much wealth are we going to accumulate. That's not enough. It doesn't matter how many countries we visited and how many exciting moments we had in our lives because we visited all kinds of exotic locations or in very, very extreme sport theme parks. This is not going to get us fulfilled. Only one thing, when we elevate above the physicality, above materialism, and only when we realize that we are humans and we have the ability and the power, which is our birthright, to connect to the realm of spirituality. Only then we can sanctify money, sex, body, relationships, community, family, and then we see how much pleasure we can extract from those physical plane connections just because we see it from a different dimension. That we are all, as humans, we are capable of achieving that, and not that we are capable, we have no choice. We have to go through a process till finally we are going to extract all of that amazing pleasure and goodness, but only with one condition, that we become spiritual. Now, the question is, what do we need to go through in order to become spiritual? In order to become spiritual means not being enslaved to all of those forces of idol worshiping around us. And that is from any addiction to, as I said, to food or to screens or anything else. All of these are just depriving us from our own happiness. You will never find a reactive, happy person. You will never find a selfish, happy person. You'll never find a real materialistic, happy person, because the only way we can really activate the happiness that is within each one of us is by connecting to the dimension of spirituality. When and where? Within living in a physical realm. That is what the whole story is about. Now, the birth of this consciousness happened in Egypt, in the Exodus. That's why we connect to it and we have to relive it again, because the Exodus is our own personal deliverance of each one of us. But now we're talking about, as Zohar said, we're talking about another plane, the plane of humanity as a whole. And here we'll have to see few major concepts that we can see in the parasha of Bo. The first thing is, and God said to Moses, Bo el Paro, and Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Bo el Paro, come to Pharaoh. And the question is, should have been, go to Pharaoh, appear to Pharaoh, approach Pharaoh. Why come to Pharaoh? Because come is a very strong word in the biblical sense, because he also, when a bride and a groom consummate their marriage, it's also the verb to come, lavo. So is there, like, what is God saying to Moses to do with Pharaoh? And the answer is in the Zohar itself. And it says over there, I'm reading from the Zohar of Parashat Bo, Amar Rabbi Shimon said, כעת יש לגלות סודות שהם דבקים למעלה ולמטה. Now it's time to reveal secrets that are connecting the above and below. מה נאמר? בוא אל פרו, it says, come to Pharaoh. היה צריך לומר, לך אל פרו. It should have been said, go to Pharaoh. מהו בו? Why בו? Why come? אלא שהביאו הקדוש ברוך הוא בחדרים לפנים מחדרים. But the Creator had to bring Moses into very deep rooms, chambers. Etzel Tanin echad elyon vechazak, to this great crocodile, divine and powerful, שהרבה מדרגות משתלשלות ממנו, that many, many, many levels come out of him. ומי הוא? Who is that? סוד התנים הגדול, this is the great crocodile. ומשה נתירה ממנו. What is the great crocodile? The dark force, which is the essence of what is called the evil inclination. You want to be free as long as you cannot control selfishness, anger, darkness, lust, and greed, you are still a victim and a slave to the big crocodile, which is Pharaoh. Basically, Pharaoh represents that force within each one of us. Moshe nitirah mimeno. Moses was afraid of him. He did not trust that he can do it by himself. ולא קרב אלא לאותם יורים, but Moses, he could fight only with the with those rivers that come out from the main one, from the Nile. These are his steps, but not from the source itself. In order to heal the plague, the problem, you really have to heal it from the source. But he was afraid. ולא קרב, and didn't approach. לפי שראה אותו שנשתרש בשורשים עליונים, because he saw how powerful that great crocodile is, who is the real authentic enemy of every human being, the only real enemy of humanity. כיוון שראה הקדוש ברוך הוא שנתירה משה, as God saw that Moses was afraid, ושלוחים אמונים אחרים למעלה אינם יכולים לקרב אליו, אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא, הנני עליך פרעה מלך מצרים, התנים הגדול הרובץ בתוך יוריו, he said, the creator said, I am upon you, me, the creator, on you, the big crocodile sitting on the Nile. והוא צריך הקדוש ברוך הוא לערוך עם המלחמה ולא אחר. And that's why Moses had, you know, if you really want to fight darkness, you really have to shine all the possible light of the creator just really within and inside. And only then the darkness will disappear. This exists. Okay? Disintegrate. And then you will see the truth. So what is that darkness? When we're talking about human life, it's all about free will. And free will, we know scientifically, there was this great Israeli scientist, Daniel Kahneman. He won the Nobel Prize in, I think, 2012. 2002, about proving that when people make decisions, he did it on the area of economy, you know, purchasing a house, buying a company, whatever, like buying a car. When people do that, everybody thinks that we make those decisions after really weighing all the possibilities, because it is such an important decision, we need to see rationally all the options that we have to really ask and brainstorm till finally we come to the right decision. And that's how everybody thought that when people make those kind of decisions, it's rational. And Daniel Kahneman and his companions, they proved that when people make decisions of such a scale, it's always coming from, you know, from the heart. From emotions. It's not rational. And you know what? He did it just because he did this big work on economy. But it's the same thing about when it's coming to get married or to divorce. Bring a child to the world and deciding how to raise a child. You know, having friends living in a certain community and associate with these people, acquiring that friend or another, it's all about emotion. Everything is personal. And what does that mean? What are these emotions? Those emotions are our own Egypt. It's our conditioning. It's our anchoring to stuff that we are not even aware that we are anchored to. It's something we went through when we were children, babies. Something we saw our parents doing. It's all like deep rooted inside our subconscious. And if I'm not aware that this is controlling my decision-making process, that means that I am not free. I'm not really having a free will because there's all kinds of anchoring and conditioning that is going to control me. So if somebody really knows me well and he knows psychology or Kabbalah very well, from knowing me, he would know exactly how would I behave in a certain situation. And you know what? You don't have to be a Kabbalist. Most of the people that you know personally, if you really know them and you open your eyes, you will know exactly how they will react in different situations. If you know how will they react, do they really have free will? So how do we attain free will? Because if we do not have free will, how on earth we are going ever to be happy? Because if you are a slave, knowingly or not knowingly, if you're aware of it or not, you will never be happy. If you see yourself and other people always in discontent, it means you and those people that are also slaves, completely slaves. Why? Being a free human being means that you ask yourself, what is that I want? I want to be happy. So why can't you be happy just right now? Isn't that the will of God that you'll be happy? Of course it is the will of God. He created you for that purpose. How do you know? See what happens to your body when you're in distress, when you're upset. Your body is falling apart. God did not create your body in order to be miserable or to be upset or to be in distress. Okay? That's against the rules. If you read it in the Torah and in the Talmud and the Zohar, one of the biggest felonies ever is to be upset. To be depressed. Because that takes you back and it's not getting you closer to your purpose in this world. And you're not going to get out of this world before you're going to do it right. And if the end is not well, it's not the end. You'll have another chapter, till you're going to do it right, and it's called tikkun, correction, not uncorrection, okay, correction. And correction means active actions of fixing stuff. What is the real fixing is to fixing that state of mind. So first of all, the first stage when you study Kabbalah is to know that we are blind. We are blind. We don't really see who pulls the strings. Is it something I went through when I was 4 years old in the kindergarten, or with my mother, with my father, or with a relative or neighbors? Is it something from past life that was awakened because of something that I experienced when I was 8 years old? I don't know. If I don't know that, I am a slave. Because there's some forces inside me, some memories that control who I am, what I am, how do I react, how do I make decisions. And of course, that controls how my life unfolds itself. And therefore, if you do not understand that state of mind, that process, if you don't understand that game, you will never be happy. You'll never be happy. So when it says, come to Pharaoh, you have to bring the light, the endless light of the Creator inside yourself, inside your pains, inside your painful memories that you're even afraid to think about it. It's a process of redemption that each one of us has to go through. No exemptions. So now that brings us to the three plagues that are being told about in this chapter, in this parasha, 3 out of 10. Why 3 out of 10? 7 we read in the previous parasha, Vayera. 3 in this parasha. Why dividing 7 to 3? Because 7 always connects you in this world, Kabbalistically, to the plane of the physical senses. 7 days a week. 7 planets that you can see with your eyes. But do you know there are 3 more planets that you cannot see with your eyes? Okay? Exactly as the Kabbalists predicted. Why? There's always 3, another 3 in a dimension that is beyond. So first you work on the plagues of the 7 It's you work on what you can see. You can't work on what you cannot see. But after you work on what you can see, then comes the stage that you can really penetrate into that place that cannot be seen, but can be dealt with. And that's come to Pharaoh, Bo El Po. These are the last three plagues. These are the plagues that according to Kabbalah, they're dealing with the upper three sefirot, Keter, Chochmah, and Bina. These three sefirot, which means every plague was a correction. If you go to the books of the Rabbi Isaac Luria, each one of them was planned, given, happened, manifested in a way like a very, very, very smart doctor. He sees the patient lying there, almost lifeless, and he knows first I have to give that remedy because that has to raise the blood pressure. Then you need to give another remedy for the kidneys functioning, and then for the liver functioning. And a very good doctor knows exactly, you don't know what is he doing, but he knows exactly which material is going to create a process that finally all of these processes are going to deliver the person out of his state of agony and come to a place in which he can heal himself. Every plague was a remedy. Every plague had its own powers to lift and bring whoever was there. We talk about the Israelites and the Egyptians at the same time, and we are talking about the whole of humanity into a place that the healing can start. The last three plagues were the deepest, the most powerful, and it means bringing the light, because the upper three sefirot in the system of Kabbalah, they are the most concentrated. This is like the power station. So that's where the light came through, because the only way you can really remove darkness is to bring the light in. How do we see that? If I go and jump right now to the last plague, and we can see that in chapter 12, verse 1. In Exodus. Vayomer Adonai al Moshe ve'al Aaron be'eretz Mitzrayim le'emor. And God says to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, Hachodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim rishon u'lachem lechodshei hashana. Hachodesh hazeh, this month, is for you. The first month is the first of the months of the year. And the word lachem appears in the same verse twice. Lachem means yours. What does it mean, yours? You're going right now to leave Egypt. You're going right now to leave the state of mind of slaves. Hopeless, powerless, meaningless, which is basically what slaves are about. It's like there's nothing to live for. Okay, maybe for a little thing, you know, maybe to eat something over there and have a little joy over there. No, that's not what we are made for. Okay, that's not a birthright. When it says lachem, and some sages says lachem is also the same letters of melech, a king. Lachem means yours, yours to control. You are going, you're coming right now to a level in which you have to take upon yourselves total responsibility for whatever happens to you. That's why you're being presented with that amazing mitzvah of consecrating the new month. What is the connection? You know, I can give a small example. If somebody learns about astrology, he realizes that not all astrologers agree when the sign of Capricorn is starting, when Aquarius is starting. Not everybody agrees. You see, sometimes it's on that date, sometimes on that. Why? Because, you know, when you look at the heavens, there are no lines to mark when is the sun going from one area to another, from one sign to another. So there's a debate for thousands of years. Okay, I'm not going into the thing about if astrology is meaningful or meaningless. It is. But most people don't even understand what does it mean. Judaism solved the problem. How? Here it is. החודש הזה הוא לכם. When you guys bless the new moon, the beginning of the new month, when you really bless the new moon and when you start it by saying this coming new moon is going to be the month of Shevat. It's going to be month of Shevat. It's going to start on Thursday. It's going to start on Thursday. It's like the first time all the commentators are saying humanity was given the power to run this universe. God is not deciding when the month is starting. You guys are deciding. And it's not about astrology. It's about that's when it's starting, when you said it is. And that rules how to decide. Still, the sages are saying, even if their rules were not kept, and we as we pronounce the new month in a wrong way, it is kosher. What does it mean? It's take the responsibility that you, human beings, you have to take full responsibility over time, space, and everything that is between them. Because it's yours to control if you want really to achieve happiness. How do you control it? First of all, do not allow anything to subjugate you. Which means, how do I know I'm subjugated? Very simple. Very, very powerful thing. There's a legend that repeats itself twice. One with Hillel the Elder. We're talking about more than 2,000 years ago. And once with Rabbi Akiva 100 years later. About the question, what is the main rule, golden rule, the pillar that all of monotheism stands on? And both said, love others as you love yourself. You know, that's a very nice statement or slogan, very hard to apply. Still, but that was, most people, as I experienced, do not really understand it. Why? It's not that you have always to try to love people. No. What the question was about in the first version with Hillel was a convert who came, teach me the whole Torah standing on one foot. And could be like, you know, are you crazy? This is a wisdom big as an ocean. Yeah, the convert said it's big as an ocean. It will take me eons to learn all of that stuff. How do I know I'm on the right track? Isn't that the question each one of us is asking himself or supposed to ask himself? How do I know I'm the right track? How do I know I'm making the right decision? And the answer was very clear. It's from the book of Leviticus, okay? Chapter 18. And it says, love others as you love yourself, I'm God. The way to God, the way for the Creator, the way to connect is checking within yourself how much can you love His creatures. Which means, if I'm coming to make a decision by buying a house, marrying a spouse, getting a divorce, whatever, and I find myself that I hate people, people annoy me, I know that I'm right now a slave to the dark side, to the great crocodile on the Nile. And whatever I'm going to make, whatever decision I'm going to make is going to come from my dungeon, from all of those emotions that enslave me, who knows how long. How do I know I'm free? When I can tolerate other people. When I love people just because. I don't need any reason to love them. Just because they're God's creatures. That's how I know I'm connected to Him. That I'm not subjugated to anything. That I'm not a slave. That I'm free. And when I make a decision when I'm free, this decision will get me out of the box into a new realm of rules, thinking, ideas, conditioning, that later on I'll have to get out of it and move on, but it will be higher than that. How do I bring myself to a place of more loving? That's what the Torah is about. The more you study, the more you read the Zohar, All of that, the more you meditate on the names of God, it's all about one thing. How do I connect really to that essence of God, and then I bring right into my own Pharaoh? And how do I know it? I made it? I don't hate. I'm not painful. I can really feel unconditional love just because I'm so full of light. I know I'm redeemed. For the next 15 minutes, half an hour, a day or two, that's enough. I tasted freedom. Now I'll go for the next time because it takes, like, I want some more. The story continues, which God is saying, bless the new moon. And then he says, and if you understand Jewish law, you bless the new moon on the Shabbat before the new moon. So that conversation must have taken place between God and Moses and Aaron at least 2.5 weeks before the Exodus. And then if you read that just with open eyes, you will see it was there in front of you all your life. And maybe you didn't notice. Because then it says, you bless the new moon, then you celebrate the new moon on the new moon. And then on the 10th day, it's the same sayings, the same session, okay, of prophecy of Moses. On the 10th day, you take a lamb and you tie it in your house. And on the 14th day, just before the night of the full moon, just at sunset, you will slaughter the lamb and you will eat the lamb on fire, barbecued on fire, with matzah and bitter herbs. Just a second, when was this, as this was said? More than 2 weeks before the Exodus. So why did the Israelites eat matzah during the Exodus? Because they were told to, more than 2 weeks earlier. So when that twilight came and they slaughtered the lamb, they had matzahs ready because they were told to have them. And it says you should have only matzah, no leavened bread. What is matzah? It's when you wet the flour, it should be ready to eat, which means baked already, within 18 minutes. So the kneading of the dough and then the baking, everything from the moment it touches water should not be more than 18 minutes. So why are you doing that? If you've been to a matzah factory, the moment you wet the dough, the flour becomes dough, you beat it up until it gets into the oven and it comes out baked. Because the rising dough symbolizes evil inclination, the desire to receive for the sake alone. As Rabbi Ashlag, the founder of Kabbalistic movement, terms it, which is our enemy, which is our Pharaoh. So how do you eat the lamb? With a matzah. As the Zohar says, as a remedy against the evil inclination. Okay, and then it says in the same session, every year on the same time, what is called Passover, you will eat matzah. You will never see leavened bread in around you during those 7 days every year. So why is it that we eat matzah? We need to bring in something that will simply, like shutting down the ego, shutting down the evil inclinations, shutting down the negativity, the pride, as the symbol of the matzah, if you want to be redeemed. And then it says that we ate that stuff, which means the lamb, the barbecued lamb, and the matzah, and the bitter herbs, which is overcoming death, as it says, because maror, the name of the bitter herb, is the same numerical value as mavet, 406. Eating it is chewing it up, overcoming death. How you overcome death? That when you feel death, as I said, bitterness, negativity, hatred, fear, and you rise to the occasion. And you replace it, as Rabbi Shimon said in Parashat Shmot, to faith. Whatever is going to be for the good. Whatever I'm going through, is going to be for the good, and I'm not going to let any fear, anxiety, hatred, or negativity control me, because that is the key. Why am I saying it? The third aspect of the Exodus. During the Exodus, as we said, the Israelites ate everything in a haste. But just a second. Twilight time was slaughtering and barbecuing the lamb. Then there was a time to eat it till midnight. Midnight, the plague of the firstborn. What did we do till the morning? Why did we have to eat it so hastily with fast? Oh, 6 hours is not that fast. How much can you eat your barbecue and matzah? You can do it in half an hour easily. No, the hastiness explains Rabbi Isaac Luria of Safed, 16th century, one of the greatest Kabbalists ever. During those hours of that evening, by slaughtering the lamb, eating the matzah with the consciousness of coming into our own Pharaoh, drawing in the light and bringing it inside us to explode the Pharaoh within, to bring the light of endless inside ourselves, having that trust and faith, something really magical happened. A big miracle, the biggest ever. Say the Kabbalists, all the levels of spirituality that a person can experience, from being a fetus till birth, bar mitzvah, being a man, a married man with children, until becoming a sage in the level of Moses, the Israelites received all of these levels of awareness during few hours. It's the only thing that allowed them to say, yes, we're leaving. We're leaving that place that was our home for centuries. Yes, it was our bondage, but leaving everything behind? Now you also understand why not everybody left according to the Haggadah of Passover. We are leaving because we are leaving where to? From a place of civilization into the desert? Just imagine. Mashiach is coming. The Messiah is arriving. He's on all the channels. He's saying, everybody get together. All the Jews get together. Go to, get on the planes and move and fly to Israel. What do you think is going to be the reaction? Just a second, we have a business. My child did not finish school, and I planned to sell my business because I didn't finish the negotiation and stuff like this. I have an exit. Hello? Only when you get that greatness of real vision of reality with the future, we have a universe to fix. We have a humanity to move forward. Then you look at your business and your neighbors and your house and your utensils and you just leave it behind. Let's go! Let's do it already. Why am I saying it? Since the beginning of this decade in the Hebrew calendar, 5780, we have started a new era. It's one of the greatest shifts that happened only very few times in a millennium. There was a big shift 800 years ago that finally brought to the revelation of the Zohar and the start of a new era coming out of the Dark Ages. Another big shift was in 1490, according to the Kabbalists, that finally brought to the end of the Dark Ages and opened the world to humanity. Another big shift was in 1740, the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, the American Revolution, the French Revolution, the Hasidic Revolution, the Sephardic Kabbalistic Revolution. All of those, simply each one of them, made a big shift of opening the boundaries and allowing people to see a bigger scope, much bigger than they saw before. That's called the Aquarian Age, the Age of Aquarius. In New Age, but in the Jewish literature, it's called the Age of the Mashiach. It's a millennium long period of transformation. We just started, and one of these big shifts, as I said, more than a year ago. And what does that mean? That all the rules, as I said, more than a year ago, before Rosh Hashanah 5780, the rules are going to change. Nothing is going to be the same. And the changing of the rules is not, like in other places, is not that comfortable, whoever wants to hold on to what was once normal. And also, when we think about 4090 and 4092, the discovery of America, still there was an inquisition. It was a huge suffering. Why am I saying it? Because on the night of the Exodus, everything was hasty on one hand, and on the other hand, people reached the Israelites to a place of, if I am connected to God, I don't need anything. I have this serenity and freedom within. If I'm told to stay here in Egypt, I'll stay in here in Egypt. If I have to leave with nothing to the desert, I'll go. When do I have to leave? They left only in the morning. Why are we not leaving yet? Why? Whenever we leave, it's time to leave. Same thing for us in our generation. Faith means connection to that light of freedom. And that means everything happens fast if you just open to it. If you just acknowledge that you don't see, you don't know. Who's the real enemy? That's the enemy within. That's the evil inclination. That's selfishness and greed and the hunger for power and for money and materialism, whatever. We were slaves as a humanity to all of that. The GDP of the country, how much it grew up and so on, how much... It's a competition. What is it? No, it's not. The welfare of the people, the happiness of the people is the most important, and no one can do it for you. You have to acquire it yourself. And this is a big shift that is happening right now. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to force us to redefine what is normal, what is right and wrong, what is really our scope, and what are really our visions about ourselves, our family, our society. This is coming, and we have to be really courageous and really go within our own Pharaoh and bring in all that light of love and excitement and connection to the light of the Creator. This is the only thing that will give us safety, power, true power, and the ability to have the patience to go through all the process that we're going right now, because it's not going to be the same. Normal is not going to be normal anymore. And if we are going just to look about it, if it's coming back to be the way it used to be, you're a slave to another thing. Just look forward. It's going to be enlightened. Like, as I said about the coronavirus, like the bat and the rooster. It doesn't matter that it feels dark to the senses, to the logic. What matters is that you're connected to inner happiness, you love others as you love yourself without any conditions, and you just become the person that you want to become no matter what happens around you. When you focus on that, we will be able to see, as the Talmud says, and the Zohar says, the great celebration, the happiness of the king. Thank you so much, and have a great week and a great era.